Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
That is stanza two of the hymn, O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. It makes reference to Gideon. His Gideon shall for you arise. The name sounds familiar, but what is that in reference to? Well, the hymn is talking there, of course, about Jesus Christ, but who is this Gideon that it's talking about as a type of Christ, one of those Old Testament judges who has some rather interesting stories attached to his time judging Israel. Welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker here in the first half hour or so. We'll talk about the Old Testament judge Gideon in Judges chapter 7. A little bit later, Pastor Peter Bender joins us for our series on Lutheran catechesis. We are again in the Old Testament with the story of Joseph forgiving his brothers, talking about the fourth and fifth petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Then part one of our conversation that deals with a non-Lutheran's reaction to visiting a Lutheran church. Matt Whitman, host of the 10-Minute Bible Hour, will be our guest. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the Old Testament judge Gideon in Judges chapter 7, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
What is God doing through these figures that are called the judges?
It's very important to remember that Joshua was a great leader, and the people loved him, and he was very successful. However, in verse 8 of Judges 2, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And then when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And the rest of the book of Judges is how God would send judges to redeem the people, but then after they were redeemed, they would fall right back into sin. The first judge was Othniel, then Ehud. We all remember Deborah. And after these judges did their work, there was peace for about 40 years, and then the people again rebelled. After Deborah, and there was peace again, comes Gideon. Gideon was the one after Deborah, and he was called by God because the Midianites were attacking Israel again because Israel was totally unfaithful and disobedient to God. And so that's when Gideon came on the scene.
So there's a pattern here that we will see played out in the period of the judges and then again in the period of the kings, of this kind of fall into idolatry and unfaithfulness, and then a restoration or a reform that God brings about through either a judge or, in some cases, the latter kings.
Well said, yes.
So what is the state of affairs when Gideon arises to judge Israel?
At that point, the Midianites were going to attack Israel. And it was kind of an unfair attack because the Midianites had 135,000 soldiers, whereas we have with Gideon 32,000 soldiers. And so who would ever think that 32,000 would be able to defeat 135,000? But the Lord said to Gideon, this is really a big surprise. Chapter 7, verse 2. The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Now, why would God say that? Because we have a jealous God. And here's what God knew from the past. If he allowed the 32,000 to defeat the 135,000, then Israel would claim glory for itself against me. And they would say, my own hand has saved me. This is really an important point for the Sunday school teachers to get across to the Sunday school students, that God is the one who will deliver you. Because we're born sinful, and we cannot get rid of our primary enemy, which is sin. And therefore, by not being able to get rid of sin, we would be going to hell. So God took over. And that's, as you said so well, Gideon is kind of a form of Christ. Why did God choose Gideon? Well, he was the least likely person. He was the youngest of his family, and he was from the weakest of the tribes. What does that remind you of? Reminds me of David. Whoever thought that David would be chosen by God to be the king? In fact, his father hadn't even brought him out when the prophet came to see whom God had chosen. And Jesus kind of falls into that category. He's a carpenter from Nazareth. How could he be the Messiah of the world? So any Sunday school child that does not think that he or she can be used by God in this world to defeat God's enemies doesn't understand God, because God can take any one of us. So here, the 32,000 that Gideon had, God says, that's too many. You defeat the Midianites, you're going to think you did it. And so we have to knock down that number. The first thing that God tells Gideon to do, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead, because that's where the Midianites were. Of the 32,000, 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Now we've got the Midianites with their 135,000 men against 10,000. So you would not expect the Lord to say the next thing. The Lord says, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And there's a way that the Lord tests them. He tells Gideon to have them take a drink. And there were a number, when they took a drink, they lapped the water with their hand to their mouth, which meant they were still holding their weaponry. And that was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Boy, talk about putting yourself in a bad position. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who laughed, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, everyone back to his own place. And that's what they did. Now, the Midianites were below the Israelites in the valley. And guess what the Lord did? Verse 9. On the same night, the Lord said to Gideon, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant. Now, why would God do that? Well, he went down to the camp, and he was listening to the enemy soldiers talking. And one of them said, I just had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed. Then his friend replied, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, man of Israel, for into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. You see, this is the way that God works. He works through giving us even more evidence of his saving power. That happens in the Christian church. We get baptized, and there is a promise that our sins are forgiven. And we receive the Lord's Supper, and there is a promise that we are righteous in God's sight. So, God does this to Gideon, and when he heard this is verse 15, chapter 7, Gideon then worshipped. That's talking about the great faith of Gideon. The Lord had given him a sign, and now he truly believed what the Lord told him to do. And he goes back to the camp, and what does he say? Arise. The Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. And there were 300 men, and he divided them into three companies. And he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. Now, normally in a battle, you would have a trumpet for every 100 men. But if 300 trumpets are blasting away, and then 300 torches are being shown, the Midianites are going to be fooled into thinking this is a huge army. Gideon says, look at me and do likewise. Of course, he got this information from God. When I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do just as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So sure enough, the three groups were separated around the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. And as they posted the watch, they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands. then the other companies, when they saw Gideon and his men do that, blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, and held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Now, when this occurred, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion. Notice, Israel never drew their swords. But as had happened, I believe, with the destruction of the Assyrian soldiers at one time, the angel there had them kill one another. And the army fled as far as they could. And the men of Israel gathered together and pursued the Midianites. And now that ends where the Sunday school is. But we do know that two verses later, they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and put them to death. And the rest of the chapter show how, through God, Gideon subdued the Midianites. So, why is that a Sunday school lesson? I believe it's a Sunday school lesson because it's got some great teaching about Jesus. Jesus also, as already mentioned, was not a very towering individual, a carpenter, and God chose him because he had been incarnate by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus kept giving signs that he was the Messiah. For example, when John the Baptizer disciples came to him, "How do we know you're the Messiah?" He said, "The deaf hear, the blind see, the mute speak, the lame walk, and the dead are raised." He's quoting Isaiah. And the point that he's making is, these are the signs that you would know that I am the coming of the Messiah. But of course, even though the disciples at times believed he was the Messiah, they did not still understand the primary function, that he would really show his messiahship by dying on a cross to take upon himself the punishment you and I deserve. And that's why I believe that so many people, when had the opportunity to leave Gideon, left him, because they did not think that God could possibly defeat. And then the sign of the lapping water or getting on all fours and not defending yourself was another way in which God got down to the 300 men he needed. Now, if you look in the New Testament, God didn't use 300 men. He used 12, one of which was a Judas who betrayed our Lord. And yet God still was able to achieve what he had promised. In Isaiah 53, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So throughout the book of Judges, until we get to the first king, Saul, the people, and many of them, did not know the Lord from before. They were newly born, and therefore they rejected the Lord's will, and even worship Baal. And that was one of the great things that Gideon He destroyed the worship areas of Baal, the altar of Baal. So God sends prophets and judges. He does that today. Who are the prophets he's sending? They're members of the clergy who have been trained in sharing with you the true word of God and giving you insights that indeed Jesus is a fulfillment of the Gideon that we were all looking for, who took upon himself so that we don't brag about, oh yeah, I became a Christian because I invited Christ into my heart. That's nonsense. No, you became a Christian because as a lost sheep, Jesus picked you up on his shoulders and carried you home. It's a totally different view of reality. And that's Gideon.
So, Tom, this seems to be a pattern that God wants to establish with his people and then obviously recorded for posterity. The people who didn't see this would still know this is how God deals with his people, that when he promised Abraham, to you and to your descendants, I will give this land. This is the kind of thing he was talking about. He was saying, it's going to be me, all the time. You are not going to take possession of this land by your own efforts, but I will give it to you. Is that a good way to think about this?
It absolutely is. Because when Adam and Eve heard the promise that through Eve would come the Messiah, they had no knowledge that he would die in a crucifixion. And therefore, they believed the promise that he would come to save them. But only as you go through the Old Testament are the details of that salvation brought about. And they're brought about in such a way that we can be comforted. And that comfort is still needed today. Because many people in this world don't have the comfort. What's going to happen to you when you die? Well, the answer is found in God's holy word. And Gideon, the prophets, the apostles, and of course Jesus Christ is the best answer for all those questions.
With just a couple minutes, how would you outline for the Sunday school teachers the presentation of the law and the gospel in this story of Gideon and the Israelites?
We hear items from God that he wants us to do. And we think, no, that's just impossible. I'm not going to be able to do that. That's the law accusing us of not believing the promises of God. And then when we take a look at the altar and the Lord's Supper and remember the promises of baptism, that's the gospel, where God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and whatever I have promised will come about. And that's why the Concordia Publishing House materials are so important for parents to take these materials home and continue to discuss them with their children. So it just becomes second nature to their minds that this is what the Bible is about. The law that demands obedience, which we can't do, but the gospel in Jesus Christ that takes care of that obedience by his obedience so that many are saved.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll post a link to Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's our series Lutheran Catechesis. We're going to be talking about Joseph forgiving his brothers in connection with the fourth and fifth petitions of the Lord's Prayer, about daily bread and the forgiveness of our trespasses. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. Stay tuned.
was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
If you enjoy our hymn studies, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Praise and Honor contains a devotional for each stanza from hymns like God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, We Praise and Acknowledge You, O God, and more. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.